Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
God gave me the scripture, but He also gave me a picture. And it's something that other people might be better at. I am 100% that a lot of people in this room will be better than this thing than me, which is gardening. Who loves gardening here? One, yeah, people are like this. They're not like, people are like, yeah. Okay. Well, because you know what? Gardening is hard work, right? Who likes weeding? No one. does someone find it therapeutic? I could see that. Laura, okay. You need to teach us. You need to teach us how you do it and find that therapeutic. But, you know, it's messy work too. You have to get your hands dirty. You can't wear nice clothes doing it because you'll get messy. But you know what? I've come to know that there is great satisfaction that comes from a weed-free backyard. And a tidy backyard, and growing your own flowers and plants and food. Someone that does it really well is my mother-in-law. Her garden is amazing. She's got everything growing in her garden. But there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot that goes with it. You need the right equipment. You need time. You need patience. And you need music, I think. I can only get through it with music. And I'm no expert, but I found it's easier for a weed to grow than to grow a plant. I weed, and then a month later, especially if there's been a lot of rain, got to do it again. And so if you want something good to come out of your effort and toil in gardening, it takes consistent care. You can't, it's not one and done. I wish it was, but it's not. It takes consistent care and work and attention. But if you do these things, eventually every plant should grow. Every vegetable crop should produce vegetables, and every fruit tree should produce fruit. Thank you. I love it. The spirit's moving. It's the same when the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, yeah? Something should happen. And our character, who we are on the inside, should be different over time and increasing ways. The Holy Spirit's work in our lives should produce fruit in us. So what is this fruit? Well, for some of you, you've already guessed where we're going. We're going to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. So that should come up on the screen behind me. But it says this. And so if you've heard this a lot, I encourage you to just keep an open mind to something new that the Lord might reveal to us this morning. Because I know a lot of us have heard this a lot of times. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You know, the fruit is the result of who we are. And eventually and over time, the quality of the fruit reveals what sort of branch we are. You know, every day that we walk with Jesus, we make the intentional decision to die to self. We put to death the flesh and its passions and its desires, like it says here. And since the Spirit has given us life, we now allow Him to direct our steps. You know, Jesus in Matthew 16:24 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Like gardening, it's not one and done. It's a daily decision to die to self. It's understanding also that the reason that we do this is not to check a box, but when we believe in him and we love him, we realize that he's better than anything else. And that's the place where we die to our flesh. And you know, he changes our appetite. This is the amazing thing about having the Holy Spirit living inside of us. You know, once we live one way, but when we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, he actually changes our appetite for godliness. Isn't that amazing? So it's not anything we're doing in and of ourselves. So when we die to our flesh, we make a decision to not watch certain things that may lead us to sin. We die to our flesh when we choose to forgive rather than to hold a grudge. We die to our flesh when we feel emotions intensely, but we don't take it out on others. You know, in Matthew 7, 16 to 20, Jesus says the following. You will recognize them by their fruits. The grapes are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Now, the context of this passage is that Jesus is teaching people how to be what I call a fruit inspector in order to identify a false prophet. However, the basis of this concept is applicable to us all. What is the story that the fruit of our lives tell? Because we will be recognized or known by our fruit. This brings in also the element of identity. Yeah? Now there's the perception of identity from many sides. How we see ourselves, how others see us, and for us, how God sees us. Ultimately, one of these things will dominate our lives. How others see us, how we see ourselves, how God sees us. And we know that identity speaks to the question, who am I? It's about who and what shapes our lives. And for us as believers, it's about who we belong to and what God's done for us and what he says about us. At the heart of being a follower of Jesus is to receive a new identity, or our true identity. And as John Piper put it, in Jesus, we don't lose our true selves, but we become our true selves only in him. I'm going to say it again. In Jesus, we don't lose our true selves, but we become our true selves only in him. And our true identity is the one of our Lord and Savior, the one that he is developing in us as we continue to follow him and prioritize him. Just like gardening, though, there's a process in all of this. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. That word that we have a very uncomfortable relationship with, like time and patience. I don't know if anyone remembers, at Woolies, you know how they have like, they had the Minecraft things for the kids and you would get them with your purchase. They had this, I think it was during COVID, where they would give you like little seeds, yeah, Vanya's nodding, yeah, and you would plant like your little garden. They'd give you like basil and like all these herbs and things to plant. And I remember doing them with Lexi and Judah, and we would plant the seed and it was really fun, and we would put them by the windowsill and they'd go in the day after and be like, it's not growing. I'm like, yeah, you need to give it time. And so they would go in day after day, sometimes three times a day, like maybe it's grown. After a while, they stopped asking because they were like, it's just never going to grow. It's just taking too long. But then when a little sprout would come up, they would get so excited. But it's that. Time and patience is very difficult for us as humans. And so there's a process. Our identity, our character, and our fruit, though, matters more than what we are doing for God. Because who we are on the inside is so much more important. So the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of us, transforming our character from the inside out. Now, we cannot, in of ourselves, produce spiritual fruit. We can't do that. However, we do play an active role in cultivating the conditions for the growth of spiritual fruit. You know, Galatians 5:25, the first passage of scripture we've read, tells us how to cultivate the right conditions for the growth of spiritual fruit. It's to keep in step with the Spirit. When we cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is doing in us, we bear much fruit. Sometimes, though, we can put more focus on the things God can do through us, and we forget, or we leave behind, or maybe we don't pay attention too much to who we are becoming. Francis Chan tells of an unnamed Christian leader who once said, "I refuse to let my public passion exceed my private devotion." I refuse to let my public passion exceed my private devotion. You know, and that reminds me of what Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, 25 to 28. It's pretty harsh. We're going to read it. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may also be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. For you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Feels a little bit when you read it. It's like, whoa. And this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. So for those of you who might not know, the Pharisees were a Jewish group who had religious authority in their community and whose main objective was to uphold the doctrine and the law. And in their eyes, they thought they were doing the right things. However, Jesus calls them out because they were more concerned with the outward appearance of righteousness, but inside they were full of things that did not match, like hypocrisy and lawlessness. So there was an incongruence. They were, I guess, saying one thing, but living differently. So it was sin that they did not see or acknowledge before God. And Jesus saw right through them. And that's the thing with fruit as well. If we go back to this analogy of fruit, let's take an avocado. It's one of my favorites. Sometimes an avocado, have you noticed, has the appearance of it being perfectly ripe on the outside. And you're like, I'm going to have eggs on toast with avocado. That's one of my favorite things to eat. But when you cut into it, it's brown, or it's too hard, or it's like rubber, which is like such a heartbreaking experience for me, especially when I don't have another avocado. And that's the thing. I think there's, there's that of it being one way on the outside, but on the inside, it's a different way. And, you know, going back to the Pharisees, I think there's a danger if we think about fruit inspection. I think there's a danger in becoming too good of a fruit inspector in others that we don't introspectively look at our own fruit. You know, someone might do enough to maintain a shiny, healthy exterior, but the outside doesn't match the inside. And that's what was happening with the Pharisees. And I guess, you know, just because we're doing good things externally doesn't mean we can neglect the inside. What's going on the inside? How God's forming us? Is He forming us? There needs to be much attention given to this. Our private devotion of Jesus should flow into our public passion for Jesus. This is another beautiful thing about the fruit of the Spirit when we look at it. The fruit of the Spirit leads to an action. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They're verbs. They're actions. So how are these seen in our lives and our actions? In our decisions, how we manage our time, our resources, our finances, our relationships. It's good to reflect on these things. John 15, 4 to 5. A lot of you might know this passage of scripture as well. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In the same chapter, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. The Holy Spirit wants to produce all the fruit in us. We cannot, as I said before, produce spiritual fruit on our own. However, we can make a choice on how connected we are to the true vine. The more we abide in him, the more connected we are to the source of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, that being said, we can also hinder the work of the Spirit in our lives by remaining disconnected. As Jesus says, whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. There's nothing of eternal significance that we can do apart from him. And so we can sometimes try and pick and choose a fruit that we're like, oh yeah, this one I'm developing in this one. But we gravitate maybe to one more than others. But because one's particularly hard. But instead, why don't we pray for the Holy Spirit to continue to grow us in all those fruit of the Spirit? You know, growth takes time and effort. And as the analogy of gardening, in the journey there are setbacks, there's frustration, you feel stuck. However, as we keep moving, we walk in a long obedience in the same direction, as Eugene Peterson said. If we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. Meaning if we remain in relationship with Jesus, his life can work in and through us and it produces fruit. It's not something that, I've said it three times now, it's not something we're able to do in our own ability. Not in our own strength, but through abiding in him. And as humans in our own strength, we can have morals. Yeah, we can have morals. But since we ourselves set our own standards and definition, it's always going to be skewed. If you think about the last 20, 10, 5 years even, how much has the standard and definition of morality changed over the course of that time? There is a standard that God sets and it never changes. And yes, it is a high standard. That's why we need the Holy Spirit's help. There may still be times where, as believers, you and I will try to set our own standard. But when we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, he taps us on the shoulder and he convicts us and empowers us because we cannot do things in our own capacity of morality. Things like forgiveness. I mean, I have lived this. I'm a living, breathing example of this. As someone who has experienced trauma at the hands of someone, and I still have the residue effects of that situation. And so in and of myself, I'm a good person, I believe, in and of myself. But you know what? I'm not that good. I'm not that good. And so it's only because of the Holy Spirit and his empowerment that I have been able to forgive and able to pray for that person and able to pray for their salvation and able to pray for that family. It's only through the Holy Spirit's help that I have been able to forgive. Loving people that are difficult to love. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find that really hard. Can we be honest in church? Right? Some people trigger us more than others. Yeah? Some people are like, oh man, they're so easy to love. Other, it's more of a challenge. It's only the Holy Spirit that can help us, empower us to do that and to do it well. Being patient and self-controlled as we parent children. When they're going through things, as they're growing. I don't know about you, but as a mum to a 10 and 8-year-old, it's only been through the Holy Spirit's help that I've been able to do that semi-okay, I think. You know, I'm still growing in that. Being kind to people that haven't been kind to us. You know, we live in a society where we're like, no, I'm not going to be kind to you. I'm going to try and get revenge if I can. You know, it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can be empowered to do these things. Connected to the true vine that is love, joy, peace, patience. Yeah? Faithfulness, goodness, all those things. And the truth is our identities are in the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit are our identity. Because the fruit of the Spirit breaks down the character of Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit is growing us in this fruit because as we do, we grow more into the likeness of Jesus. So if our identity is about what's shaping our lives, how are we allowing the Holy Spirit to shape ours? Because the fruit is the evidence of our identity. What are we allowing to shape our lives? Now, some of you know I'm in my final semester, hallelujah, praise Jesus, of a graduate certificate of professional supervision. And I'm completing my placement right now. And one of the things that has been ingrained in all of us from our lecturers, from the reading material, is this idea of how is it that I would like to show up today? I asked myself this in the supervision before I enter into supervision before, but it's transferable to a conversation with my husband, Dave, a conversation or situation with my kids. As a pastor and as a friend, how is it that I would like to show up? Because what is in me will flow out of me. So if I'm abiding in the true vine and the Holy Spirit is cultivating love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in me, they lead to an action and they flow into everything that I do. Not all the time. We're human. We're going to get some things wrong. We're growing. It's a process. But it will flow in increasing ways and over time. Are we connected to Jesus, the true vine? If we are, the evidence of it will be in the fruit. And it's never too late to reconnect with him. If you're feeling like, yeah, I don't really feel connected to him. Because he's such a kind God and he's always pursuing us, but he waits for us. The fruit the Holy Spirit cultivates within us brings life and healing, not just to ourselves, but to our family, our friends, at workplaces, to our church. And the fruit of our lives can nourish those around us, or the opposite, where there is no fruit. As we've been celebrating today, we turn 7 today as New Melbourne West. 7, the year of completion or fullness. What the Lord has begun, he'll bring to completion, to fullness. What is our fruit as a church? How are we showing up as a church? You know, as I mentioned before, I'm so grateful to the Lord for his amazing faithfulness, his strength, his love and goodness. That has been evidenced from day one. And it's to him we give our yes. It's for him that we do what we do. And he'll always be worthy of our yes to him. Nothing is possible without God. I'm so grateful for the amazing Pastor Dave Fuentes, my husband, who pioneered this location along. We did it together up until March this year. The fruit of his love, his leadership, his discipleship is evident. And I'm so grateful for him and his yes, as I'm sure a lot of people in the room are. I'm so grateful for people like Sarah and Hayden, who have been with us since the interest days that we had, leading worship for us. And Levi and Vanya, since St. Albans. Ash Manwar, Mylene and Renan, if they're around, yes. Pastor Bob and Claire, who celebrated 50 years of their wedding anniversary, 50 years wedding anniversary. How amazing is that? But they have been, Pastor Bob and Claire, we always honour them because they have been sowing seeds in this community since before West existed, before it was even a thought. And so we honour these amazing people and many more that were with us from the beginning and have played a massive part in stewarding this location alongside us, sacrificially serving. The fruit is evident in what they've put their hand to, in loving and leading this location and where we are today. I'm grateful for every leader that has served faithfully and transitioned into a beautiful new season, like the amazing Ravimbo, who the fruit of his leadership is George and Becky stepping in to the prophetic and worship oversights role. I'm grateful in this season to our amazing West leadership team, for Levi and Vanya and George and Becky and Matt and Roxy. Yeah, so and this new season where we're leading together. The fruit is evident in our culture. You know, I've had so many conversations with you around how when you walked in, you were wrecked in the presence of God in the best way. It's the fruit of hosting the presence of God as our priority. I've had so many conversations with you about how you came in unsure, hurt, broken, and felt welcome into family and found your people. The fruit of intentionally seeing, loving, and caring for people as our priority. I'm grateful for every salvation and every miracle that we've seen in this location. And that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So I thought it would be interesting for us to hear, because there's new faces, there's people that have been here from the beginning. How have we shown up as a church? Well, like I just said, we've seen salvations and miracles. This is the work of the Spirit, but we are responsible for cultivating the soil of this, right? Of leading spaces and our openness and our hospitality to people coming in. We have, in the first years, served meals to the most vulnerable people through the first 2 years of being a church through something called Soul Kitchen in Braybrook. We journeyed with the vulnerable through the COVID and lockdown season and made sure everyone, regardless of where they stood or their opinion, was given an opportunity to gather together within the boundary set. So I don't know if many of you know, but during that time, people who were unvaccinated, they couldn't meet in this location. And we were meeting at 5 o'clock, I think our services were here at that time. So Pastor Dave and I would open our home to people who did not choose to get the vaccine, because we wanted them to still feel in community. And so that was a beautiful opportunity for us to see our community and love them, regardless of where everyone was at during that time. We've walked alongside people during the darkest moments of their lives, and it's been our privilege to do so. Leaders have been constantly stepping up. I can talk about everyone in this room, but, you know, Christine in our pastoral pillar and Jane in outreach, Jane and Dave Rout in outreach and Alpha. There's been so much fruit of their stewardship, love and care for people. Every Christmas, we've partnered with organizations such as, I mentioned, 300 Blankets. One year, we partnered with a local women's refuge. And more recently, Warringah Park School and Laverton Community Integrated Services, as well as Laverton College. Hundreds of presents and vouchers have been given to the most vulnerable community people in our community. That's incredible fruit. That's love in action. And there is so much more I could say. This is the fruit of our identity as a church. And it comes from cultivating the fruit of our identity in Jesus individually. This is an overflow of that, because we will be recognized by our fruit. Our family, friends, neighbors, people in the community will recognize us by our fruit. So in the next 7 years, how do we want to continue to show up as a church? Because it's not just up to me and our amazing leadership team and volunteers and leaders. It's up to us all. Have we become stagnant, stuck, or frustrated in allowing the Holy Spirit to form us and shape us? I'm going to invite the worship team up. Are we connected to Jesus, the true vine? And if you haven't been, like I said before, there's no judgment or condemnation here. He waits for you. I just want us to have a moment of reflection and ask the Holy Spirit how he wants to continue to form us. Maybe some of us are running from the very people or situations God put in our lives to form us. Corrie ten Boom said, "You see, a potter can only mold the clay when it lies completely in his hand. It requires complete surrender." Do we need to surrender again to the potter?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. you can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.